Chapter 9, Liberia, Here I Come. After my graduation from Bob Jones University in 1957, I attended the SIM Candidate School in New York City. During the 6 weeks of Candidate School, we were acquainted with the history of the mission, given cleaning and maintenance jobs around the old hotel in Manhattan, the mission's headquarters, and were examined by the mission doctor. Because of my history of polio and other things, the doctor told the mission I was a poor risk for the mission field. I knew the Lord wanted me in Liberia with Roland, but it was a big test of my faith to continue believing that. I did a lot of praying before the day of my interview with the mission board. The night before the interview, I surrendered my life anew to the Lord and took off my engagement ring as I told the Lord I wanted His will more than anything else. I put my ring back on and went to bed and to sleep, trusting the Lord to work out His plan for my life. I praised the Lord the next day when the board members informed me I was approved to go to Liberia and marry Roland. They told me we would have to be married as soon as I arrived there, since SIM had no other mission compound in Liberia where I could stay until the time of our marriage. That was no problem for me. On the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, Roland walked along the beach praying for me the night before I met the mission board. He also rededicated his life to the Lord, surrendering our marriage and ministry together to the Lord's will. He asked the Lord to give him a sign of His will by clearing the dark, cloudy sky and allowing him to see the full moon. As he sat on the beach looking out over the dark sea, the clouds suddenly parted and he saw the big full moon shining down on him. His heart was full of thanksgiving to the Lord as he headed back to the house and to bed. Making wedding plans was not easy, since we were over 4,000 miles away from each other and had very little means of communication. A friend allowed us to talk to each other from time to time by means of a phone patch on his ham radio. Since I did not know any of the missionaries in Liberia, I asked Roland to choose my bridesmaids, flower girls, and ring bearers. Dottie Coddington would be a bridesmaid. My flower girls would be her little daughters Sharon and Debbie Reese. Station director Ray Delahaye would officiate for the ceremony, and his daughter Joy would be a junior bridesmaid. Roland chose several of his missionary co-workers to be his groomsmen: Tom Lowe, Henry Hungerpiller, and Al Snyder. One major part of the wedding plans was missing: the wedding date. We could not choose a date until I had raised my support, gathered furniture, equipment, and household items, and knew when I could sail to Liberia. I spoke in several churches and was promised a bit of support. One day I received a letter from Roland's boyhood Sunday school teacher telling me he would take up the balance of my support so I could soon join his Sunday school pupil in Liberia. Meanwhile, my mother and I were sewing my wedding dress and the bridesmaids' dresses. The little Singer featherweight sewing machine we would use was a wedding gift from Roland's mother. We kept it busy, humming along for many hours each day. One day my mother stopped sewing and reminded me I was scheduled to speak to the ladies at my home church that afternoon. We were already late for the meeting. The ladies were just finishing their business meeting when we arrived, so so I started speaking almost immediately. As I spoke to the ladies, I listed several prayer requests, one of which was a request for the Lord's provision of all the kitchen utensils and appliances I would need to ship to Liberia. I noticed all the ladies had big smiles on their faces when I mentioned that request. As soon as I finished speaking, I learned the reason for the big smiles. The ladies started carrying things to me from another room, kitchen utensils, dishes, dish towels, pots and pans, etc. They were being used of the Lord to provide the answer to my request. My mother had deliberately delayed our arrival at the meeting to give the ladies time to arrive ahead of me, bringing their kitchen shower gifts. As I waited on the Lord to provide all my needs, He began speaking to me about some things in my life that needed attention. He reminded me of something I had done against my parents when I was a fifth grader. I had never admitted my sin to them or to anyone else, not even the Lord. He convicted me of this and told me I would not be able to serve Him effectively until I took care of this sin. I confessed my sin to Him and to my parents, and was relieved of this burden after all those years. The Lord did not stop there, but kept reminding me of others I had wronged. I wrote some letters to right those wrongs. I knew I needed to have a clean, pure life if I wanted to serve the Lord as He wanted. The mission board told me I should have a commissioning service in my home church before I departed for Liberia. The service was held on December 21, 1957, at First Baptist Church of Hoopston, Illinois. My mother played the organ for the service, and my three sisters, Pat, Ruth, and Mary, sang two trio numbers. My pastor, Arthur Beatty, made a charge to me, and the SIM deputation secretary, Stuart McDougal, made a charge to the church and preached the message. A reception was held after the service to present the bride-to-be, me, to the folks. I wore my wedding dress since they would not be able to attend my wedding in Africa. It was a difficult time for my mother. She could not bear to help me dress for the occasion. It was hard for her to miss her oldest daughter's wedding in Liberia. She also missed the weddings of her other three daughters, since the Lord took her home to Himself before any of the others were married. Christmas Day, 1957, was the last day our whole family was together. When we realized that fact, we called our photographer friend and asked if she would be willing to interrupt her holiday to take a family picture for us. She gladly obliged, and that picture is one of my treasures. Dad had to return the next day to his work in Chicago, and Pat returned to Bob Jones University before he came home again. I would be in Liberia before we would get together again, and Mom would be in heaven when Roland and I and our baby daughter Becky would return to the States for our first furlough. The Lord wonderfully supplied all the things I needed to ship to Liberia, and the crates were sent to New York City ready to accompany me on a freighter to Liberia. Funds for shipping the crates were provided, but for some strange reason, the Lord had not provided the funds for my personal passage on the ship. I asked the Lord about that, and soon received the answer by means of a phone call from Texas. The lady on the phone said, "Hello, Arlene. I hear that you are preparing to go to Liberia soon." "Yes, I am," I replied. "Well, my dear, I am Mrs. R.G. Letourneau. My husband has a mission project in Liberia, and he is planning to go there very soon. We were wondering if you would like to ride to Liberia with him and some other men in his private plane. I was so shocked, I hardly knew what to say. Why, yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you for the invitation. Mrs. Letourneau proceeded to tell me Mr. Letourneau would soon be in a city near us, speaking at a meeting at a church there. She said I could meet him that Sunday afternoon and fly back to Texas with him, then fly on to Liberia a few days later. I will never forget that Sunday. I went to church with my folks in the morning and gave my testimony in the service. I also sang the song, Only One Life to Offer, with my mother accompanying me on the organ. We drove to the small airport in the nearby city and met Mr. Letourneau and his pilot, Barney. I was told Mr. Letourneau's plane was a converted B-26 bomber from World War II, now called an A-26. As I said goodbye to my family, I did not know it was the last time I would see my dear mother on earth. It was exciting yet difficult to climb on board the little plane and fly away from home and family. I was allowed to take one suitcase with me on board the little 7-passenger plane. I had looked for the biggest suitcase I could find because I had to take everything I needed for at least 6 weeks until the ship arrived in Liberia with the rest of my things. Besides my personal belongings, I took Roland's shoes, suit coat, shirt, and tie for the wedding, my wedding dress, the bridesmaids' and flower girls' dresses, some wedding napkins and paper plates, and other things for the wedding. I had to bounce up and down on the suitcase in order to shut it. My wedding veil was allowed to come along in a box. This was the first time I had ever flown in a plane other than a 10-minute air tour of Chicago. We flew to Longview, Texas, from northern Indiana, and I spent a few interesting days at the Letourneau Ranch. From there we flew to Florida, where we checked out of the USA and flew on over pretty tropical islands in the beautiful blue Caribbean Sea. As I looked down at those islands through a small window at hip level, I did not realize someday the Lord would bring Roland and me back to these islands to live and help establish 2 new missionary radio stations. We arrived on the island of Trinidad in the Southern Caribbean around 1 a.m., checked into the country, got rooms at the airport hotel, and caught a couple hours of sleep. We took off very early the next morning to fly across Guyana and Suriname into Brazil. We hit some turbulence along the way, and the man sitting behind me leaned forward with a bit of advice. Just lean back in your seat and breathe deeply, and you will be all right. That's what he said. That man happened to be Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, then president of Wheaton College. 6 men were on the plane with me beside Mr. Letourneau. One of the men had given up his seat for me and was sitting in the cockpit with Barney. The plane had no aisle and no facilities. Mr. Letourneau sat in the back seat along with his drawing board. He worked on drawings of his new ideas on large earth-moving machinery he manufactured. He had invented electric wheels for his machinery, and it is said he had 299 inventions. He loved the Lord and gave 90% of his income to the Lord. Mr. Letourneau said he could never outgive the Lord. "I shovel it out," he would say, "and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel." He eventually sold his business to the Caterpillar Company. I was amazed. It took 2 hours flying at 400 miles per hour just to cross the mouth of the Amazon River with all its deltas. On the other side of the river, we landed at the city of Belém to go through immigration. The officials were unhappy because the pilot had no copy of the plane's registration with him. They warned us we could not leave Brazil until we produced the registration, but they allowed us to fly on to Natal on the edge of the hump of Brazil. We planned to fly across the Atlantic Ocean at that point, since it was the shortest route across the ocean to Liberia on the corresponding hump of West Africa. We had to stay an extra 24 hours in Brazil while we waited for a copy of the plane's registration. Some missionaries took care of us during that extra day, and I got a good taste of life in a foreign country. We were due to arrive in Liberia on Friday, but were not able to leave until Saturday. We had no way of notifying the folks in Liberia of our delay in Brazil. Meanwhile, an anxious young man was on the other side of the ocean, sitting at the ham radio for most of those 24 hours, calling and listening for some sign of the arrival of Pappy, Mr. Letourneau's plane. Of course, Roland had all kinds of fears about what had happened to us in our plane. What a relief it was when he finally heard Barney's call on the radio. Estimated time of arrival, 8:26 in Liberia. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was an exciting time when we finally touched down at Robertsfield Airport in Liberia after a short stop at Ternita, Mr. Letourneau's mission further down the coast. As soon as the propellers stopped, Rowan ran out to the plane to greet me. It was wonderful to be together again after our separation of 2 years.